Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. I must dwell in thy house this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's feast remembers an ancient Roman church, the Pope's Cathedral. No, not St. Peter's in the Vatican, but St. John on the Lateran. And this matters because we are Roman Catholics. Remember the adjective. Today I want to talk to you about names and modifiers. But first, let's do a dream. The Pope, Innocent III, this is 1209, the High Middle Ages, faced a situation very similar to ours, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Heretics were preaching all over, the Albigensians and the Cathars and the Waldensians. The Catholics were confused. The Mohammedans had captured the shrines of the Holy Land, had invaded Italy several times, and had their eyes on Rome. The secular government was squeezing the Pope's powers. And the priests, alas, they were often an uneducated lot, worldly, lax, careless in conducting worship. Remember the cheap tin box they would use to preserve the Blessed Sacrament, the dirty altar linens, and the dusty, unswept churches as they gabbled through the Latin in their rushed masses and never gave a sermon. Now, the Pope had just met a young man named Francis from Assisi, the north. He had come down to see the Pope to tell him of his plans and to ask for his blessing, because that's the Catholic way. You don't do anything without Papa, without Dad, the Father. Well, that night, the Pope had a dream. He dreamt that his church, the Lateran, was collapsing. He saw the walls shake and about to fall when suddenly a man, like Zacchaeus, low of stature, appeared. He was dressed in a brown peasant frock, and he took the weight of the falling church on his shoulder, and he stabilized it, and it did not collapse, and he straightened it back again, and the Pope woke up. This dream, they say, persuaded the Pope to approve the lesser brethren, the friars minor or Franciscans, as we call them, followers of him who was sent by Christ crucified to rebuild my church. We know how he did it, this Zacchaeus of the 13th century, recently come down himself from his own sycamore tree of worldliness. He got down on his knees in adoration to the Blessed Sacrament, the point where we meet God, the Holy Mass. And only later did he get around to preaching penance to the worldly Zacchaeus souls of his time. And they too, what did they do first? They got down and they rebuilt the church on their knees. And thus did he, one young man, a traumatized war veteran who heard voices and heeded them, who was put by his father under a family vendetta. One man rebuilt the church. It is that same church, dear faithful, which came tumbling down 50 years ago this month on the 29th of November, 1964, when the church stirred and started to get off her knees. the first English Mass of the changes, and the last gospel was no more. And soon there would be more changes and no valid consecration and no more kneeling and nothing to kneel for. Today, we have another Francis, a radical reformer who refuses to kneel. And even the secular media are talking about schism, a split in the modern church. More labels, more names. But what I'm wondering about is who we should be. We, the Catholics who are left, who never did change, or if so, went back not to tradition, what an invidious phrase that is, but to Catholicism, classic, if you must. And all that entails. The logical consequences, including names. Now, who are we? And who are they? The others who also claim Catholic as their hashtag. What's in a name? Shakespeare asks. Ah, a name is a powerful thing. The Jews of old recognized this, and Almighty God insisted on naming himself all of the main characters of the story of our redemption. A name, a word, it matters. One blogger recently wrote, "Words mean more than we want them to." That's the delight of poetry and the bane of discursive prose. This was brought home to me in a recent conversation with last week's preacher, Father Arnold Trauner from Austria. Now you know that in the last 50 years of the world of Catholic divisions, there are all sorts of names floated about. Liberal, conservative, traditional, Novus Ordo, Pius X, Home Alone, R&R, Neo-Catholic, and we're known as the Sede Vacantists. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Well, it's Latin, and I grant you it's fitting enough. I believe grammatically that's a participial phrase. You would see it on stamps that the Vatican City State would issue after the death of a pope, along with an umbrella that's the symbol of the chair of Peter being valid. There's no valid pope seated there. For us, it is only a logical consequence of the truth. What truth? The church can teach no error. She can never give evil to her children, much less 50 years worth. So these changes were not Catholic. And the promise of Christ still holds. The gates of hell will not prevail. And therefore, he who seems to be pope was never elected in the first place. It's a bit like the birther's screed. If you were born outside the United States, you can't be a valid president. If you have sinned against the Catholic faith and don't profess it, you can't be a valid pope. The flip side of all of this is to say that if there were a pope, why, we'd be with him. We'd be under him. That's the origin of the word, one of the four marks of the church, Catholic. St. Ignatius of Antioch in the second century said that where the bishop is, there the people are, and there Jesus Christ is, with Catholic truth. That's why, because we're Catholics, Roman Catholics. That's why we're Sede Vacantis today. But Father Trauner says, has this ever been your experience? That the minute somebody in German-speaking countries, here's that phrase, sede vacantes, he dismisses them as crazy people, extremists, neo-Nazis, just about. So people, after long years of propaganda, which is Nazi, are scared away. Remember what they said a lie repeated often enough. But who are we? We are the logical ones. We are the ones who never left. We are the ones who are left, uncompromising Catholics who never changed. We have nothing to do with the new church. We are with St. Francis rebuilding the church, but we are certainly not one with this Francis who is bulldozing what's left. May I make a modest proposal this morning? No more modifiers. Not Latin Mass Catholics. Certainly none of those adjectives taken from the political world of the French Revolution, liberal or conservative, and never that invidious phrase, traditional-minded. I don't know who cooked that one up. Please never use that. Let's just be Catholics, please. And if you must have a modifier, for modesty's sake, say Roman, that's all. Catholic means, according to the Greek root, universal, according to the whole, the same everywhere. Otherwise, you end up with a Protestant notion of the church, Bergoglio's, that one world church. Somehow we're all following Jesus with all our own ideas, and it doesn't really make any difference, and we're all under the big tent. I'm a Latin Mass Catholic, and you are a liberal pro-abortion, Pope Francis Catholic. And it's the same church? Really? When I'm high church and you're low church, and you're evangelical, you barely even do church, certainly not any ceremonies, but we're all following Jesus, right? Wrong. Unless you were in the body, you're not. And his mystical body is the Catholic Church. You either are or you are not. Vatican II teaches heresies, all about the church, you know, collegiality and what we call Frankenchurch, and ecumenism and happy meal Catholicism with its elements of truth, and truth with its substantial anchorings that changes from age to age. I'm not saying that all of those folk who are Novus Ordo, or recognize and resist, and the rest, or even just plain old Novus Ordo, are not Catholics anymore. In fact, I'll agree with Francis in this. It really isn't for me to judge. But I do say this. These two religions are radically different, one from the other. That's clear. Only one may be true. The other, logically, must be false. Were the new religion the true, I'd want to join it to save my soul. And I'd want all of you to drive over to St. John in Westchester this morning. And the last one out, turn out the lights. But more, what about them, the folk at St. John? Are they Catholics anymore? In addition to all of the Vatican II church heresies, there are the Jewish ones. They deny that the Jews killed Christ. They deny that the Jews need Christ in order to save their souls, which is very serious heresy and uncharitable. These are just some of the official false teachings of the modern church. Consider their less official ones, but the standard teachings in the schools they run, their parishes, their seminaries, for half a century now, taught, imposed, first of all, by the new Mass in worship. Are those people Catholic anymore? They do claim the name. It could be confusing. They may be in good faith, some of them. They do keep elements of the faith. But their religion is not Catholic. As we work to rebuild the church, first of all, we shouldn't mind whatever name somebody wants to call us, but we ought to reject the names, really, and never use them. We should reclaim the only name which is ours, not rad-trad or traditional or conservative or sede vacante, but Catholic. We should refer to the others respectfully by their non-Catholic distinguishing doctrines or groups, Novus Ordo or Pius X or Recognize and Resist and the rest, but for ourselves, no more modifiers, please. And so one would ask, I'm traveling, is there a Catholic mass in North Dakota? Or there are a few Catholic seminaries left. Bishop Sanborn has one in Florida. If we are anything good, if we are correct, it's this. We're Catholics. And at the same time, the glory of it, we're the smallest and the least of the brethren. We are those called by Christ out of the sycamore tree to come down, for he would dwell with us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.